In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today is October 15th. It is the feast of St. Teresa of Avila, Teresa of Jesus, Mother Teresa of Jesus. And this was a woman that was in the contemplative order, the Carmelites. And the founder of the Carmelites is Elijah. And she was a gadabout, even in the convent. She was loved by people, and she would be visiting with people and visiting and visiting and visiting and talking and talking and talking. She was very bright, very bright. You might say, what's wrong with that? Well, the thing that was wrong with that is that she was supposed to be a contemplative. And the Lord sent the Holy Spirit upon her, realizing that she was wasting her life. She was wasting her life as a contemplative. And one day, she just got on her knees, and she was in front of Jesus Christ, a statue where he was completely marred by the whips that they put to his back and to his front. And she said to the Lord, as she was on her knees, "I will not move until you change me." And the Lord changed her. And that's what's the beginning of her life of conversion. Imagine being in a convent and not being converted. It's possible. Imagine being a priest and not being converted. It's possible. Imagine being a minister and not being converted. It's possible. Everything is possible. Jesus said, all things are possible. Only believe, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't talking about that, though. So Teresa of Avila opened homes, many, many homes for contemplative sisters to come and pray. And one of the intentions was for the church, that she would raise up men and women for the church, and women for the church, that people would come and love Jesus and that they would intercede for the church. So we still have the Carmelites today who love Jesus. So many Carmelites. I was very, very enthralled with Sister Mary Elizabeth, who's now in heaven, when she was in Roxbury. And what a wonderful woman she was. What a prayer warrior she was. What an awesome lady she was. Oh, yes. And you know what? It's still today that these Carmelites are before the Lord praying for us. These Carmelites are before the Lord praying for us, for you and for me. You always have people praying for you. It is the church who's praying for you. If you cannot pray for yourself, just say, "Lord, I just want to plug into all the contemplative sisters, all the people who are praying today. I want them to pray for me," because they're all part of the body of Christ, all part of the body of Christ. So please, today, if you cannot pray, ask the Lord that these contemplative nuns, these beautiful sisters, these Carmelite sisters, would pray for you, even though they don't know your name. God knows how to let them know who to pray for. I have a contemplative nun, Sister Seraphim, and when I ask her to pray for me, things begin to change. Sister Seraphim is not a Carmelite. She is a Franciscan, and Poor Clare Monastery. She's a Poor Clare sister, and my Lord, her prayers are ever so powerful. I remember praying with her once when she was in Boston, and she lived in Boston, but now she's in Florida. I remember when she just blessed herself, I could feel the presence of God, that blessing herself meant something to her, that she blessed herself like I've never seen anyone else bless themselves. You know, we just go through the motions in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but not so Sister Seraphim. And then when she just bowed her head and the presence of God came upon her. Well, I want to talk about the presence of God for a couple of minutes right now. Today we prayed with a certain man who has cancer, and the presence of God came into the room, came into the chapel. And you know, he has been told that there's no hope for him, that they can't do chemo and they can't do radiation. But Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. The big C is not cancer. The big C is Christ. And this man, last week and this week, just experienced the presence of God and the peace that only God can give. I could even be aware of that peace that the Lord had put in the room, that he showed himself to this man. And you know what? This is real. This is real. When Seraphim just bowed her head, I remember the presence of God filled the place. The presence of God filled the place. This is real. I'm not talking ragtime. This is real. I'm not saying that every poor Claire, but I know Sister Seraphim is a saint. She's a saint. She's probably, how old am I? She's in her 80s now. She's in her 80s, but she doesn't look 80 at all. She looks so beautiful. Her face shines with the glory of God. So today we celebrate Sister Teresa of Jesus. Sister Teresa of Jesus. Let me tell you one of the stories of this contemplative nun. You know, they were having, you know what she said? I would rather put up with a whole slew of demons than one nun that's unhappy. I would rather put up with demons, because I know what to do with the demons, rather than one nun that is unhappy. That's all it takes, one nun to make the convent miserable. So, you know, this is the way she thought. They were arguing as to who would be the prioress of the monastery that she was in. And one day, you know, there was all these discontented nuns, and she got to the table before anyone else and put a statue of the Blessed Mother and says, "Here is your superior, Mary, the Mother of God, Mary, the Mother of Jesus." Well, they all shut up, you know what I'm saying? It's like she just made them shut up, they were changed by the grace of the living God. So today is the feast of St. Teresa of Avila. We ask her prayers. She had a spiritual director, John of the Cross, and she was very, 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 very wonderful. She also had the gift of healing. One of her cousins was blind, and she just put her hand on the cousin's face, and the eye came back. She could see again. He could see again. This is Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Jesus is her real name. And she went from a gadabout to a contemplative to a saint. And she founded many monasteries, many, many monasteries for prayer, and always prayer for the church, always prayer for the church. Today we're looking at the rich young man, Mark 10:17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling at him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one that is good but only God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud no one. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, If you want to follow me, you must sell whatever you have, and give what you get to the poor, and then you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come take up your cross and follow me. He left sad at the saying, and went away grieved. Why? Because he had many possessions. Let me tell you about this rich young man, because this is very Catholic. You know, Catholic people say the only thing I need to do is to do the commandments. You know, that's very Jewish. Do the commandments. We are not under the law. We are under grace. And we have to obey the Ten Commandments, of course. But Jesus looked at the man and loved the man. He loved the man, and he said, you have to do one thing. You have to go and sell your goods and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Let me tell you this. Jesus did not say that to everyone. He said that to the rich young man because the man's treasure, the man's heart was with his goods. But you know, he was a religious man. He loved religion. He kept the commandments. He was a religious man. He kept the commandments. He didn't do anything wrong according to the law. But yet there was one thing lacking. His heart was with his possessions. His heart was with his money. His heart was with his things, with his automobile or whatever he had. Of course, he had no automobile. But whatever he had, his heart was there. And you know what? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Jesus did not say that to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, I give half of what I make to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I give them four times what I defrauded them with. If I defrauded someone of $5, I give them $20 in return. So Zacchaeus was not asked to sell all his goods and give it to the poor. Why? Because Zacchaeus' heart was not with his goods. Zacchaeus' heart was not with his goods. But the rich young man, his heart was with his goods. And the Lord said, if you want to be perfect and you want to follow me and you want eternal life, you've got to sell all your goods and give it to the poor. I love this line. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Before Jesus said anything to him about selling the goods, Jesus loved him. Oh, the look of love on the face of the master. How could the rich young man ever forget that love? How could the rich young man ever forget the love that Jesus showed him when he just looked at him with those eyes of love? Oh, my Lord, I often think that rich young man came back. I often think that rich young man came back because all his goods could not count as much as the look of love in Jesus' face, in Jesus' eyes for him. He experienced the love of Jesus. And once you've experienced the love of Jesus, let me tell you, nothing else matters. Nothing compares with it. It's the sweetest of wines that there is. Once you've experienced the love of Jesus, it's like every other good and all my possessions, it's like drinking vinegar. And no one wants to drink vinegar or drinking lemon juice. Nothing as sweet as the love that Jesus had for the rich young man. Let me tell you today, Jesus is beholding you. And as he beholds you, he loves you with the look of love. He loves you with the look of love. That love is in his eyes. That love is in his face. That love is for you, and his arms are outstretched. Come to me, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For in me your soul will find rest. Jesus beholds you today with love. You say, but I am a sinner. Jesus beholds you today with love. His eyes are toward you. Close your eyes and see him. Close your eyes and see how he looks at you. He doesn't point his index finger at you. He has his arms open to you, that you would run into his arms. I'll never forget when I was praying with Brian. Brian came. He was on his way to jail. And he came and I asked him, you know, is everything all right? And, you know, he says, oh, yeah, everything's fine. How's your child? Oh, my child is good. Everything is fine. I knew everything wasn't fine. He was on his way to jail. You know, he had done something that he had to go pay for. Anyway, I said, do you want me to pray with you? He says, no, I don't. So I finally said, do you want me to bless you? And he says, yes, you can bless me. And I just put my hand on his head and I started to pray in the spirit. And I'm telling you, Brian was on the floor. He was on the floor. And his eyes were moving, you know, his eyelids were moving. I knew he was seeing something that I wasn't seeing, but the house was filled with the presence of God. The house was filled with the presence of God. And then, you know, ultimately, I woke him up and I said, Brian, I said, were you with Jesus? And his eyes were as big as snappers, as big as marbles. And he says, I was with Jesus, but he didn't look like anything that I've ever thought of. I said, how did he look? He said he had hair as white as snow, and his face was the color of olive. Oh, it was beautiful. I said, did he talk to you? He did. He looked at me, just like the rich young man. He looked at me and said, Brian, I love you. Then I said, what did you say, Brian? He said, Jesus, I love you too. And he looked at me and says, Brian, come to me, come to me. And he opened his arms for me to run into his arms. And I ran into his arms. I said, what happened next? As then you woke me up. I said, I had no idea that all these beautiful things were happening. But you know, the love of Jesus for Brian that day was so real that it filled the house. It filled the house. If you came into the house that day, you would have experienced the presence of God. Brian experienced the presence of God. And you know what? This is the sad thing. At another time, he comes to visit me, and he says to me, oh, that wasn't real. I said, Brian, I stake my shoes on that. That was real. That was real. Why are you trying to hide from Jesus? Everybody doesn't see Jesus like that. Everyone doesn't feel his love like that. Jesus went out of his way to touch you. He says, well, you know what? It wasn't real, but you know what? He'll never be able to deny it. He can deny it with his lips, but his heart can never deny it. Why? Because he experienced the look of love. He experienced the love of Jesus Christ. He experienced the presence of God. And you know what? You cannot prefabricate the presence of God. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and then you shall have treasure in heaven. And come take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. There's the key, trusting in the riches. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, this whole thing, the eye of the needle, was an interesting thing. It's something in Israel. It has nothing to do with a needle that you sew with. It has to do with a pass, that the only way for the camel to get into the through this pass was that the master had to take all the leather stuff that was on the camel off of him, and the camel would squeak through. It's like, you know, when I'm sitting down at the table and people just have to put their stomach in and get by because the door and my chair are in their way. You know, they squeeze through. That's exactly what the eye of the needle is, that the camel has to squeeze through. So it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished at the measure, saying among themselves, then who can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, again, Jesus looking upon them, how does he look upon the disciples? With love. Jesus, looking upon them, says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible. Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe, all things are possible. Lord, I believe. With man it is impossible for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. With man it is impossible for a woman who just cares about the beautiful pen that she has, and she holds that pen in her life as if it were God. All things are possible. All things are possible to those who believe. And I'm telling you that Jesus is not speaking against riches. Jesus is speaking against where is your heart. If your heart is with that pen, that gets in the way of Jesus. You know, last night I said to Jesus something that I hope he's taking me seriously, and I know he is. I just need to keep on trucking. I said to Jesus, you know, Jesus, if I'm never healed, I still will follow you. If I'm never healed 100%, I still will follow you. And I really mean that. I will follow you to the best of my ability. If I'm healed, I can follow you better. But I'm going to follow you, Lord, no matter what. No matter what. And I said that, you know, I said that not when I was experiencing the presence of God. I said that out of the dryness of my heart. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with Jesus. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. We have left everything to follow you. And Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, amen, amen, I say to you, there is no man that hath left house, brothers, sisters, father or mother, wife and children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, who shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, and persecutions besides in the world to come, eternal life. Oh, yes, people want to forget. They want the lands, they want the homes, they want the brothers, they want the sisters. But Jesus promises persecution. Jesus promises persecution. Father Matthew reminded me of something that happened many years ago when I was a deacon and I was carrying the oils on Holy Thursday to the archbishop with another deacon. And I was thinking, oh God, I don't want this oil to spill. I said, who wants to hear them? It was very heavy. It was very heavy. And we're walking through the church. They're all young people in the church. They bust them in from high schools, Catholic high schools. And I remember thinking, I don't want to take a Dixie. I don't want to fall. I don't want the oil to go all over the place. And all of a sudden, as they're singing, come Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, the Lord said, and when the persecution comes, how many of these will be faithful? And I'm thinking, persecution. The only thing I could think of is not dropping the oil. And he's talking about persecution. You know how old those people would be now today? 48, 49, 50. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? When the persecution comes, how many of these will be faithful? How many of these will be faithful? It was the last thing I wanted to hear, but I knew it was the Word of God. I knew it was God speaking to me. You know, God doesn't speak to me every day, but when He speaks to me, I know what He's saying. And it was so clear. When the persecution comes, how many of these will be faithful? I'll tell you another story. That we were in the Holy Land many years ago. And there was a couple who were married that day, 50 years, and we were going out that night, but they couldn't come to celebrate Mass with us. They were tired. And I said to them, I will celebrate Mass for you people in your room. And I did. And I remember running to my room, getting the chalice, getting the wine, getting the bread, getting my vestments. I remember running. And as I'm running back to their room, I hear the Lord say, one day it's going to be like this. You're going to be hiding and you're going to be celebrating the Eucharist. And I'm thinking, my gosh, where is this coming from? Where is, and persecutions besides, and persecutions besides. I'm telling you, there are more people who die for Jesus Christ in 2012 than died at the beginning of his, at the beginning of Christianity. There are more people who die for Jesus Christ in 2012 than died at the beginning of Christianity. I'm telling you that in 1999, 165,000 people laid down their life for Jesus Christ. We need to pray for the people who are in jail, for the priests that are in jail in China. We need to pray for people who are giving their life for Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for all the persecuted Christians. We pray that you would manifest your glory to them. We pray, God, that they would hold out to the end. And Father, if we go through the persecution, we pray that we would be faithful. You know, Lord, I'm the biggest chicken in the world. I've got a big mouth like Peter, but you know, Lord, I'm the biggest chicken in the whole world. Help me to be faithful. Give me the grace to be faithful in times of persecution. Give me the grace to be faithful in times of difficulty. Give me the grace to be faithful, Lord. I need the grace to be faithful. I cannot be faithful on my own. I cannot be faithful on my own. Give me the grace to be faithful. Give me the grace to be faithful. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Where is your heart today? That's your treasure. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.